ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, text number 39. It's 38 and 39. This is entitled, The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. Text number 38. Atrapi bavritschar gitang shrinume surasatamam satyam om iti yat proktang yan net yahanritang hitat. One might argue that since you have already promised, how can you refuse? O best of the demons, just take from me the evidence of the Bhuvritcha Shruti, which says that a promise is truthful preceded by the word Om, and untruthful if not. This is Shukracharya speaking to Bali, trying to convince him it's not a good idea to surrender everything to the Supreme Lord. He's getting nervous that his person who's supplying all his necessities is going to give everything away. Satyam pushpa palang vidyat atma vrikshasya giyate vrikshe jivati tannasyat anritang mulam atmanah. Satyam, the factual truth. Pushpa palam, the flower and the fruit. Vidyat, one should understand. Atma vrikshasya, of the tree of the body. Giyate, as described in the Vedas. Vrikshe ajivati. If the tree is not living, tat, that. Pushpa palam. Na, not. Syat, is possible. Anritam, untruth. Mulam, the root. Atmanaha, of the body. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, then there's no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. Because I know the mind wanders, we're going to all say it together. Okay, responsibly. The Vedas enjoin. Do it again. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, There's no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This shloka explains that in relation to the material body, even the factual truth cannot exist without a touch of untruth. The Mayavadis say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. The spirit soul is truth, and the external energy is untruth. The Vaishnava philosophers, however, do not agree with the Mayavada philosophy. Even if for the sake of argument, the material world is accepted as untruth, the living entity, entangled in the illusory energy, cannot come out of it without the help of the body. Without the help of the body, one cannot follow a system of religion, nor can one speculate on philosophical perfection. Therefore, the fruit and flower, pushpa palang, have to be obtained as a result of the body. Without the help of the body, that fruit cannot be gained. The Vaishnava philosophy therefore recommends yukta vairagya. It is not that all attention should be diverted from the maintenance of the body, but at the same time, one's bodily maintenance should not be neglected. As long as the body exists, one can thoroughly study the Vedic instructions, and thus at the end of life, one can achieve perfection. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 8:6. Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajat yante kalevaram. Everything is examined at the time of death. Therefore, although the body is temporary, not eternal, one can take from it the best service and makes one's life perfect. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, there's no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. So we're fortunately hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literature, and it may seem as though sometimes simple subject matters are discussed. There's very scientific lessons in the systematic way that Srimad Bhagavatam is being presented. Because who of us can study all the various Vedic literatures, Puranas, Itihasas, the histories, so many sages, and so much wisdom is there. So much knowledge and understanding of the purpose and goal of life, how to utilize the body for the purpose of getting free of the quicksand of material existence. We're entrapped. Everyone is trapped in the material world with four defects: birth, old age, disease, death. Everyone's dying. And Krishna, he is speaking the Vedic literature, and he's appearing again as Vamanadev. Here Bali Maharaj became emperor. Although born in a demonic family, he was fortunate enough to be born in the family of Prahlad Maharaj. So devotees and demons, they all come from similar family heritage. Lord Brahma, Kashyapa Aditi, and the mother of the demigods, the mother of the demons. And we call demon anyone who is against the obedience and submission and acceptance of God. That we're actually recognizing that God exists. He's a person, the supreme person. He's created all of us. We're all His parts and parcels for His enjoyment, because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And everyone has an individual, unique individuality. Individuality means that we're all unique persons, so we can have relationships. My relationship with Dharmatma may be different with my relationship with others. And, we have by Sankarshan Prabhu, we have Goloka Vrindavan. So many wonderful names are there because we're all striving to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. But everyone has a unique spark, and that spark, based upon the desire and their relationship with Krishna, is being manifest. In the material world, unfortunately, we're being driven by desire. And although King Bali had the whole world, you know, when someone becomes very rich, very powerful, possessor of great land and opulence, power, control, they sometimes get puffed up and they start thinking that, yes, what is the need of God? I have everything I need. Let the poor people go to church and pray to God. Maybe they'll get some bread if they're lucky. If God is in a good mood, He'll give you bread. No, Krishna's providing everyone according to their needs, according to their desires. And now the discussion, you can see a whole book or several chapters are sometimes dedicated to giving us a lesson and understanding about not being greedy, and also what it means to accept a bona fide spiritual master, what it means to recognize when someone is not speaking the truth, that you should not surrender to God. What kind of guru is this? You don't surrender to God. And just seeing that everyone is looking out for self-satisfaction, that how will I be happy? How will my family be happy? How will my nation be happy? And, you know, these people are interfering with my happiness. And because of being in the material world, there's many, many philosophies. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes the different types of philosophies, Mayavad philosophy. It was described earlier that most people in the material world think that when a living entity dies, it's all finished. Burn, throw it, bury it, whatever. It's just a lump of material element. Earth, water, fire, air. And, you know, it starts smelling really bad. And it's like, you know, no one's interested in a dead body in that capacity. You know, you might think that I want to enjoy the company of somebody, but if they're dead, you know, it's a little bit creepy, as they say. It makes you feel like this is it's all finished. But the Vaishnava philosophy, not that we're just, you know, gambling and thinking, let me try this philosophy, let me try the Buddhist philosophy, maybe the Jain philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, Lord Chaitanya. What does that mean? Simultaneously one and different. Because the living entity within the body, we say life comes from life. I had an opportunity at Mumbai to visit the science, Rasaraj, and the life comes from life. They're speaking amongst the scientists, the biologists and mathematicians, and those who are the Einstein deep thinkers, the theories of relativity and this and that. Even my friend Brahmatirtha and Hridayananda Maharaj invited me in Gainesville when they had a scientific, some program to discuss amongst the scientists. And although we may not philosophically or scientifically understand the intricacies of how the atom works and the molecular structure of this universe and all the material elements and what and how people are, you know, trying to understand what is the source of life. Did it just happen? Did it appear? Was there an explosion? The atoms multiplied, and then over a long period of time, they started making sense. We don't have to grope in the dark. We don't have to be, like if you're in a closet, you turn the light off, you can't see your own hands, you can't see anything. So we're born in darkness. We're born in illusion in this material world. So everyone goes to school. Even though we may have had many degrees in the past, you may have been a PhD or, you know, a master of this and that. When you take birth in the material world, everyone again is learning. This is from their parents, from their relatives, their society, from the school, the teachers, and their own life's experience. They're gathering information and trying to figure out, who am I? What am I doing in this world? And what is the purpose of life? So Bali Maharaj was very fortunate. He had the chance to offer Vamanadeva, who was a Brahmana. Now we're understanding what is the culture of a Kshatriya, what is the culture of a Brahmana, a Vaishya. So we're trying to reestablish Brahminical culture, Kshatriya culture, Shudra culture, not as the goal, but to organize society in such a way that they can live systematically, peacefully for awakening spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge. And this Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni, who is actually an incarnation, Shakti Vesha Avatar of the Lord, to spread the bhakti, to make devotees, you see he's always from King Prachinabhari and Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, so many. Narada Muni is the Lord, the Lord's representative, Shakti Vesha Avatar, because when the parents of Raghunath Das were concerned, they sent many messengers. They sent people, you take care of him nicely. So Narada Muni is looking out for our welfare. Although Daksha didn't think so, when all his sons, after performing meditation, so they can also become good progenitors, they can also populate the earth, Narada Muni says, why do you want to waste your time in this material existence full of misery? You already have good qualifications. You're already understanding the miseries of life. So you take to this process fully. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yashu Vairagam Gyanancha Yada Haitukam says that we need knowledge in detachment. It's describing Yukta Vairagya. It's recommending Vaishnava philosophy, Yukta Vairagya, that we utilize everything in Krishna's service. We don't become attached to it. We have a nice car, nice vehicle, use it to go to the temple, go preaching, go distribute books. That's proper utilization of a vehicle. And you have many nice gadgets and toys. We communicate, we spread Krishna consciousness. I was just at the Mumbai meetings, and I can see how the different leaders are concerned that we organize ourselves in such a way is to give guidance, spiritual guidance, and give an opportunity for all the conditioned souls to come in contact with Krishna consciousness. And this is actually, we may think that committees, people make jokes that a camel was designed by a committee, is actually a horse designed by a committee, it became a camel, making some joke that committees always, they always mess things up pretty bad. But I agree that we're not spending time talking just politics or talking about how all people's bad qualities, because there's plenty of bad qualities in the material existence. But we're speaking how to inspire people to take this life and utilize this gift. The human form of life is a gift. How we can use it to get free from the cycle of birth and death. Basically, it's describing that You may think, well, this is not real. You know why? Because it's going to all dissolve and go back into the earth, and it's all temporary. But the spirit soul is eternal. This is eternal, but the body is temporary. That's okay. But if anything used in the service of the Lord can become spiritualized. To give the example of the iron rod, you put it in the fire, you leave it in the fire, it starts turning red hot. It becomes fire. You say, no, it's only iron. Touch it. It is fire. It burns. So the body, if we're utilizing the hands for cooking for the deities, you know, clapping during the kirtan, assisting the Vaishnavas in their pilgrimage, you see? Using the legs to come to the temple, the eyes to see the beauty of the Lord. So time is very valuable. And Shukracharya is trying to convince Bali Maharaj with logic and reason. Well, you know, you didn't really say Om before you made the promise, so technically you can get off the hook of making the promise. But a Kshatriya makes a promise, or a Brahmana, you know, they take things very seriously. It's not just some joke, you know. And then Lord Vamanadeva was very tactful to say, nobody in your family has ever gone back on a promise. They're all righteous. They're all very, you know, respected as a community. So you should carry out your promise. But take more than three steps, Bali is saying. You know, you're not, although you're a nice Brahmin boy, but you're not very intelligent. I can give you a whole island. I can give you anything you want. He said, no. I agreed. If one is not satisfied with what he's been given, he'll never be satisfied. Doesn't matter how many, what was that one yogi, he had how many Mercedes, or they had Rolls Royces, you know, he had 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, 20 Rolls Royces. How is that going to make you happy? We had one politician, he had like 15 huge mansions. They asked him on the news report, he said, how many houses do you have? He goes, I forget, you know, I forget how many mansions I own. So there's no limit to the greed and desire to acquire wealth, because we're thinking after we become wealthy, money is honey, then my family will be happy. My children will be happy. I'll be happy. And, you know, it's a great success story. But what happens? Old age, disease, and death. And we see people die very lonely, miserable. We also had a temple in Miami Beach. So I would see all the old people, retired people. And it's a reminder that we have to take our life for the preaching mission of Srila Prabhupada. In Srila Prabhupada's apparent old age, he got on a boat. He suffered heart attacks. He came to a place where he knew no one, in conditions and weather he was not used to. And it was very difficult struggle. Why Krishna put the pure devotee through such struggle? Why the Pandavas had to struggle? Why Queen Kunti has to struggle? You know, why do we, who are aspiring to become devotees, sometimes meet challenges and struggle? Krishna is teaching us lessons that nothing in this world is permanent. It's all temporary. It'll all be taken away. And all your desires, all our dreams and hopes to be happy in this world will not be fulfilled. So if we're utilizing the body simply for trying to make satisfactory arrangements for our own comfort, and neglecting the service to Guru, neglecting the service to Krishna, and living in the holy dham, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping Tulsi Devi, chanting the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees. And what is the most dangerous thing for devotees? The association of non-devotees. Because when we start associating physically or visually with non-devotees, what happened to Ajamil? Think about it. Ajamil was a nice Brahmin boy. He learned in Shastra. He was carrying out a duty for his father's yajna. And because he came in contact with bad association, it immediately disturbed his meditation, his mind. And in such a disturbance that he completely gave up his principles of devotional service, bhakti, and pursued the path of what he thought was something that of value. But we see again the story in Srimad Bhagavatam how the Vishnu Dutas and Yama Dutas discussion and conversation, that one who's dedicated their life to Krishna, there's never any loss or diminution. Neha Bikramo Nashosti Pratyavayo Navijate Swapam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobaya. That even a little endeavor on this path of devotion, it always stays with us. There's no loss. There's no diminution. It's like putting money in the bank. Money in the material bank account is useless because when you die, somebody gets it. The government, the kids, the dog, the cat, whoever you willed it to. Somebody gets the money. The money just stays here. Everything in the material world stays. We can't take anything with us. But that devotion, that calling out Krishna's name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Think, oh, it's just an ordinary sound vibration. This is calling Krishna, please, somehow or other I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. You pick me up from this ocean of suffering and engage me as one of your servants. That's a very high position, a servant of Krishna. And all the devotees feel themselves very meek and humble, unworthy. That I'm too fallen. Just, you know, my thoughts, my desires, what's in my heart, my behavior. Sometimes I find myself getting angry. Sometimes I mistreat people. I'm not showing love and compassion. It says that when one sees a Vaishnava, he's immediately inspired to chant the holy name. He's immediately inspired to render service to Krishna just by seeing a Vaishnava, a devotee. So we can't artificially force ourselves, you know, mold ourselves to become Vaishnavas. But if we systematically perform the sadhana bhakti, Raganuga is there, spontaneous love is there, and it's burning inside, wants to come out. But by this regulation of sadhana bhakti, yes, I should not stay up late, because if I stay up late, I'll be tired, and instead of attending the Mangal Arati, I'll be sleeping in the ashram. You know, it's not good. Because we're here for some discipline. We're here to serve the Lord, but there's underlying selfish motive. We're thinking that, hey, if I do my duties nicely, I chant the holy name, I keep good association, then hopefully I'll make some advancement. So it may be considered like a desire, but it's a good desire to become free from material qualities of lust, anger, jealousy, greed. You know, all these things are keeping us tied down to material existence. And imagine dying, thinking of just, how can I can't enjoy, my body's useless, my family hates me now, I'm not making any money, I'm just a burden to they can't wait, when's the old man going to die, you know, get our inheritance. Because the young people still want to live, and although some may have some respect for their mother and father, but many times we've seen, they'll kill their mother and father, they'll kill their brothers and sisters to get the kingdom. You know, Taj Mahal, the whole history. And we've seen, there's some pictures by the BBT, the devotees who've painted that the dying man is there, and you know, all the relatives are sitting around kind of waiting for him to, you know, it's a burden. But we want to respect and appreciate those who are Vaishnavas and serving devotees, because there's a long list. One cannot become a devotee by penance, by sacrifice, by, you know, worship, by, you know, this yajna, by austerities, you know, dipping yourself in the freezing cold up to the neck, or surrounding yourself by fire. There are many types of yoga, many types of self-realization. and many people are performing many austerities. But the secret is kept in the heart of the Mahajanas, the pure devotees, those who are actually 100% surrendered to the Lord, like Narada Muni, Srila Prabhupada. You can see by his behavior, if it wasn't for Prabhupada's personally coming, showing the example, undergoing the struggle, undergoing the austerity, and performing the miracle of translating so many Bhagavatams, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, Nectar of Instruction. So much nectar is emanating, the essence of all nectar. And he showed how with love and affection that he attracted the hearts of so many people who are struggling in this world. It was the personal love that Prabhupada was giving to the devotees that was most attractive. He was the father, he's the supreme master, the supreme leader. And it's not that we're idolizing some human being, because no one who's human could perform such superhuman activities. Yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajat yante kalevaram. That whatever state of mind one is at the time of death, that state he'll attain without fail. And we're molding our mind, we're molding our consciousness by our activities throughout our life. So at the time of death, all that, the cinema of our life is coming back, and there's reactions. For everything there's reactions. Karma, actions and reactions. So if we're dedicating our time to worshiping Krishna, chanting the holy name, serving the devotees, performing the duties as given to us very clearly by Srila Prabhupada, we don't have to change anything. This is, unfortunately, a disease, especially it was noted for the Westerners. We're always wanting to change, you know, breaking and rebuilding and breaking and fixing, trying to fix things. Like Prabhupada gave us the simple morning program. You know, shave our head nicely. It's not a fashion. Prabhupada was often asked, why you shave your head? We like to stay clean, simple. You know, a sign of renunciation, like we're giving up this material existence, we're taking up spiritual life. So we may say, oh, that's external. Okay, that's okay, it's external. I've often said, my son is a policeman, but when he has his uniform on, and he has his badge, and, you know, all the different paraphernalia, people on the street reckon, oh, he's a policeman, you know, I have to behave, or whatever, or I need his help, whatever it might be. So we are wearing Vaishnava, or devotional clothing, and following the recommended process of the acharyas, so that we're pleasing to Krishna. This says, you know, you're singing and dancing in front of the deity. Krishna is pleased to see the devotees in devotional attire, and at the same time, we're attracting others. Some may not be attracted, but there's all classes of people. There are those pious living entities, those persons who are suffering, and just by seeing the kirtan party, by hearing the holy name, seeing the Vaishnavas, they become Krishna in their heart, super soul. Paramatma is telling them, hey, this is the way to go. Because does anyone ever forget anything? And then you have a little reminder, oh yeah, now I remember. That's Krishna, super soul. He's giving us remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. Sarvasya chahang hridi sanavishto matak smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So if we want to forget Krishna, this temple rules and regulations, it's too many rules and regulations. I like this more spontaneous. Let me go and be more spontaneous. That's not the proper mentality, thinking that I am greater than my guru or that I know better. I know what's best for me. You know, I follow my own intuitions. Following intuition is good and it's important. We don't want to have blind following. We don't want to have persons who are simply ignorant and not understanding. Prabhupada said, I'm writing the books, are you reading the books? You have to understand What is the subject matter of the science of self-realization? Every science has many journals and a lot of experiment, trial and error. So someone has done all the trial and error, made all the mistakes, and has been illusioned, gone the wrong way off the main road into the forest of darkness and sense gratification, speculation, this philosophy, that philosophy. There's many philosophies, and some are very good. They say that you can either take the direct method of the elevator to the top floor, 200 stories, or you can spend the entire day taking the staircase, and you might get tired out and never even make the goal. So sometimes people say all paths lead to the goal. That may be Christopher Columbus went a certain way going to India, but he found the Americas. And, you know, they thought, I found it. But he didn't find India. He found Americas. So we may think that, oh, you know, this path is good too. That path is good. And they may be, but we have faith in Srila Prabhupada. We've seen his power and we've seen his transparency and clarity. You read Bhagavad Gita, you read Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the company of devotees, follow the instructions as given, keep the association of devotees, and always chant the Lord's holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I also shared with the bureau members the activities taking place here in Krishna Balaram Mandir. We have our, you know, preaching activities, our youth preaching, our child protection team, our community services, HR department, deity worship, farm project, school project, and also some ideas of the future for further preaching and further glorification of Srila Prabhupada and this Krishna consciousness movement. Because we're members of the movement, we're members of Krishna's movement, and this is Prabhupada. Prabhupada is also, he's also a member of ISKCON. We're all, and we shouldn't see it, the negative things, because there's negative things everywhere. You can see negativity in ISKCON all day long, the people, but look at the good devotees, those who are actually sincerely following with determination, dedication. And you want to get that association. So we should be careful that we don't criticize others. The Goswamis were great, great, very powerful personalities, but they were very, very humble. They're also very eager to offer respect to the Vaishnavas. So we're in the most sacred holy dham of Sri Vrindavan in Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Mandir. We have a wonderful opportunity to carry out Srila Prabhupada's orders and message of Godhead for all the fallen conditioned souls. So we have a few minutes if anyone would like to have a question or comments. 1, 2.
Hare Krishna. My question is this. What is the difference between a Hare Krishna and a Hare Krishna?
What is the difference between a Hare Krishna and a Hare Krishna? Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we get a little bit eccentric and people start, trying to express their individuality. But Prabhupada wanted that we keep clean. And fortunately, even if we don't want to, we lose it all on top. It's clean. But we want to be part, we're part of Prabhupada's mission, and Prabhupada was, he said, minimum, at least fortnightly, everyone should be clean shaving. In Vrindavan, he expressed like that. So we're not making a big issue, but we should make an issue. You know, we should be very strict with the rules and regulations, very strict with our appearance, and very strict with our behavior. You want to further say that? Maybe you can also give your...
Yeah. One of our god brothers who became a little deviated, he went for a darshan in Prabhupada, and he was keeping a mustache. And Prabhupada inquired about his mustache. He said, Prabhupada, you had a mustache? Prabhupada said, that was before my diksha.
Okay. Get rid of the mustaches, okay?
In regard to we want to give some of these different services so we can go back home. Prabhupada said we should desire and go back to Guru. In other words, he gave it the okay of that one. And then also, in America, there's a saying in regards to chains. The saying was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So everything Prabhupada gave is perfect. There's nothing broken about it. So you don't have to fix anything. No chains.
Thank you. Yes. Sometimes we complicate things. Keep it simple is best.
Thank you for very inspiring us. As you were inspiring us, I remember that one time I called you for being December 11th on the streets of India. And I could feel it. It was shaking. It was so cold. And I asked you, so it's snowing. And it's windy. And you're extremely nervous. What is it that inspires you to do that here?
Well, book distribution is Prabhupada's special gift, and he was encouraging all the devotees. I remember when I came to Miami, and the devotees said, oh, you should go on book, he'd be a good book distributor. Devotees those who captured Prabhupada's mood of, you know, save the condition. He had great compassion, great love, and he understood that there was no hope, no clarity without these transcendental literatures. And we were convinced that the best way to make spiritual advancement is to make the spiritual master happy. And what makes a spiritual master happy? That we become Krishna conscious. And becoming Krishna conscious means to be not only obedient, but enthusiastically obedient, isn't it? They give different categories of servant. First class servant, or there's fourth class. Is, you know, you tell the servant to do it, but, you know, he neglects. Third class, he does it, but begrudgingly. Second class, he's in a very good mood, he'll serve. But first class servant, he understands the mood of the master, and he enthusiastically carries it out. So we have to understand Prabhupada's mood by hearing his lectures, by reading his books, and then any doubts that we have, by good association, and repeated hearing will hopefully give up our bad habits and have the energy required to under difficult situations to carry out the mission of Guru. Yes, Prabhu. The ISKCON fire is burning hot for those who stay in the fire. If you take the iron rod out of the fire and put it near the fire but not in the fire, it ends up getting cold and becoming iron again, and that fire effect is missing and gone. So we should worry about our own dedication, our own cleaning business. You know, everyone's working on themselves in different ways. Different cleaning activities are taking place, and ISKCON is a tool, is an instrument given by Srila Prabhupada under the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Sankirtan mission, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. This is Guru Parampara, is the essence of Guru Parampara, and the cream of all religion, the cream of all the goal of life is being beautifully handed to us. And ISKCON is very instrumental in doing that. So we have to try to adjust ourselves in such a way that hopefully we can also become useful instruments in Prabhupada's hand. You know? But whenever, like say your finger is infected or sore, although it may be a small part of the whole body, we give it attention and we try to, you know, spend, you know, we'll spend money, we'll spend time and energy. So if we can somehow or other reach out to devotees, is a good thing. So devotee care is very popular now. We're trying to enhance our devotee care, because who else is going to care? We want to care about devotees, but also one should not just take advantage of that. You know, it's an army, and you have our medics, and we have our hospitals. So this is our transcendental hospital. Stay in the hospital till you become really, really healthy, and go out and preach. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.